I want to begin by speaking about the majesty and the mystery of Christ's being. There are three verses in the Bible which bring us to think about the mystery of who Jesus was and is. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, that's Paul's letter to Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we read this: "And without controversy, no argument about it, great is the mystery of godliness." He says, God was manifested in the flesh. God was manifested in the flesh. And the other two verses were in the reading that David read to us just now. In the beginning was the Word, speaking of the Son of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's who he is and was. And it says a little bit later, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now these verses speak to us about who Jesus Christ was and is. Okay? First of all, we can learn from these verses that he was absolutely unique in the whole of the world. There is no one like him, never has been, never will be. That God the Son should enter this world. We said the words of the Creed where it says there that he is of one substance with the Father. In other words, what the Creed is saying there is that Jesus Christ is God, and that there is only one God. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one God. That's the Christian faith. That's the teaching of the Bible. And then we use the word incarnate. That means he took flesh, or he entered human nature and was made man. Those are the words of the Scriptures. Was made man, and the Creed goes on, for us and for our salvation. So when we think of Jesus, we must always remember that he is like us as man, but not like us at all, as he is God made man. And we must remember the uniqueness of Jesus Christ in the whole history of the world. In him, we have this amazing mystery, which I can't explain to you, and you can't explain to me, the union of two natures, the divine and the human. And these two natures combined perfectly and yet not mingled. This is the great mystery and the majesty of Jesus Christ. And I want to say right now that every heretic, every false sect, and every false religion on this planet denies this truth. This truth of Christ is denied widely and always has been. And it's denied by people who are deceivers. They will deceive you, and they are deceived by the father of lies. We've read from John's Gospel. Let me read to you what he says in his second letter. He says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ, the true teaching of Christ, has both the Father and the Son. And he says this: if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares his evil deeds. There's a warning for you. Stay clear of those who come, and they are in our streets. They come and knock our doors. They are beside us. They will deny the truth about Christ. And that's the first thing I want to say. When we think about Jesus Christ, we have this amazing, majestic mystery of God manifested in the flesh. And then secondly, I want us to know this morning that the Son of God humbled himself for us and died for us. You see, it's only when we appreciate the majesty of his deity will we ever appreciate the work that he did for us. We will understand his lowliness when we understand his majesty and his glory. If I can say it like this, the master washed feet. The master washed feet. He knelt down like a lowly slave and he washed the feet of his disciples. And I say, that was nothing compared with the fact that he laid down his life at the cross for sinners, for you and for me. There were many, many people crucified by the Romans. There was no crucifixion like the Lord's crucifixion at Calvary. That was a unique death because he did it for the sins of his people, for the sins of those he came to save. Listen to this. It says, who, this is Paul writing, the Apostle Paul writing, he says, who, being in the form of God, and he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He set his glory aside, taking the form of a slave and coming in the likeness of men. And he says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. There we are, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, in all his majesty, the mystery of his being. When we think of him, we say, we cannot understand you, Lord. It is too great for us. But we can understand that he came and humbled himself to lift us up from our sins and from death to save our souls. He washed feet. He died the just for the unjust. And then thirdly, this morning, I want you to know that when we consider his coming in the flesh, and when we consider his death as man, then we must know that here we see his love for us. This is the love of God found in Christ. The love of God is displayed, look, towards sinners, towards those who did not were not worthy of his love, but yet he loved us. There's a hymn that we sang, I think, yesterday. We can sing not just that he suffered, right? But that he suffered all for us. He did it for us. I referred to a text yesterday in Deuteronomy, which tells us about the Lord's love for his people. It says there, he says, he found him in a desert land. He found him. It's going back to Israel. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. But what did he do? He encircled him. He understood his needs and he kept him as the apple of his eye. Think about that. The Bible says the Lord kept his people like the apple of his eye. And I say to you, if that was true of Israel in the desert, it is doubly true of us when we come to the cross. What was Christ doing at Calvary? What was he doing in the manger? Apart from encircling us, apart from studying our need and caring for our need, apart from keeping us, he is our Saviour, and saving us shows his love for us. And then last of all this morning, because of who he is and that he came and that he loved us, because of these things, the Bible says that God has highly exalted him. Let me read these words. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Why? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Right? Those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess. What should we confess? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What does God want us to do. He wants us to honour his Son. He wants us to honour the Son of God. He wants us to honour the one who came as man. He wants us to honour the one who loved us enough to give himself for us in death, that our sins might be blotted out. This is the will of God. God has given to his Son a people. He has given to his Son a church. He's given to his Son a bride. And history is not about the wars and the governments and all that. History of this world is about God bringing out of this world a people for himself, a people for his Son. And I'm glad that I am one of them. And if you are one of them, you will be glad too, that in our lives God has done this one thing for us. Nothing else matters like this, that he has stretched forth his hand, said, "You are mine, you are mine. I give you to my Son. You will be part of his bride when he comes again." The church, the children of God, the Christians, we are his kingdom. We are the ones who live to honour him. We are the ones who are waiting for him to return. We are the ones who belong to him. Well, that is why we can be glad this morning that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I would say with Paul, "Of whom I am chief, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. His Son who became flesh that he might die to save us. That he might humble himself, that we might belong to him and love him and serve him and be with him for eternity." May God grant us all of that. Amen.